Let's go to our Browns beat reporter. His name is Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, how are we doing tonight?
I'm here.
You are here, and we appreciate you being here. Tom Brady, Greg Olson, Tony Romo, all walk into a bar. Which person are you telling to leave?
Ooh. Probably Romo.
Yeah, I think so. I think so as well. I kind of like the mystery
box. He's unlistenable at this point.
Ooh, I kind of like the mystery box that is Tom Brady at this point. Yeah, Romo's just, he's gone off the deep end.
He's a caricature.
He really is, though. He really is. And he doesn't even make sense in his broadcast anymore. Like, did you hear in the Bills game a couple weekends ago? It was like, oh, that was a perfect pass. It was just outside the numbers. That was a perfect pass, though. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Tony, it can't be a perfect pass if it was outside the numbers. What are we doing here?
Mailing it in and cashing his big fat check from CBS.
Yeah. But do you think Tom Brady will be good? You're a broadcaster.
By the way, I can't wait for those days to come for me.
The mailing it in days?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice.
Make a ton of money, do as little work as humanly possible.
Well, I don't know about the making a bunch of money part, but the doing as little work as possible will happen at some point. At what point do you plan on retiring, Daryl? Are you 75? Are you 65?
I will probably die while in the business.
Really? You think so, huh?
Yeah.
You never had a dream retirement gig? I'll tell you mine.
Oh, I have a dream retirement gig. I'm a realist and I'm in my mid-40s already, so it's a little late.
Okay. I've always held out hope that one day I would retire from this, and then I would, be an usher at a baseball game, baseball stadium, and just I would be an usher, and that'd be my job for any games that the Guardians were playing. I'd go do my usher duties, and then I'd golf in between, and that'd be the life.
You just want to yell tickets?
No.
Let me see your tickets.
I wanna hold up the sign that tells people you can't come down to your seats until the game in progress
yeah.
Sign. Yeah, I want to be like, listen, not now. You got wait your turn, and then so politely be like, oh yeah, you can come down. You're good. You're in this section. That's great. You can come on over here.
Then I'm trying to remember if Paul Giamatti was a game in progress guy.
Oh, could have been. Definitely could have been. I've thought more about that being my comp, and I've cried. I cried overnight.
I mean, he was fantastic in Private Parts. I could definitely see you
WN,
telling. I could see you yelling at someone that they're the Antichrist. I could see that happening.
Pig vomit. He looks like a pig. He makes you want to vomit. Pig vomit. I'm more of a sideways Paul Giamatti guy, from being truthful about it. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
That movie made me want to drink a lot of wine, and then I learned that I don't really drink. I don't like being wine drunk, Daryl. I don't like the drunk of being wine.
I'm not gonna lie, it doesn't take much wine. I really wake up with the hangover with wine. I'm not gonna lie.
It's not great. It really isn't great. So you never thought about something else outside of this? That when you got to be 75, 80, hopefully whenever you decide to hang the microphone to the rafters, you'd latch on to?
Yeah, no, I live in reality, and like I said, I just kind of realized that's never happening.
Okay.
I just hope that I can last as long as possible, be as competent as long as possible, and yeah.
It'll be me, you, and Nick Wilson on a station 40 years from now.
Oh God!
Well, considering my career
started with Nick Wilson, it'd probably be only fitting that I annoy him to the bitter end.
Well,
as payback for when he was a little 8-year-old squirt.
I was gonna say he was really, really young though, wasn't he? He was eight.
Yeah, he was.
How was his dad? I've never,
His dad was the absolute best.
I could see that. I could totally see
and
that.
And there's Nick has a lot of his dad in him.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen the photos.
And that's a compliment, by the way.
No, of course.
I'm not throwing shade.
Like, of course.
Nick has a lot of his dad in him. Yes, sir. Ray.
Oh, that's very cool. I love to hear that. I think I got more of my mom's side than my dad's side, if I'm being truthful. My dad was a very quiet human, which makes no sense that I'm just a loud talker.
Okay.
That's all I got on my dad.
I don't know your parents that well, so I can't verify.
Well, the thing that Nick and my dad have in common is that Nick's dad and my dad both died on the March 23rd. They both have the same death date.
Oh, man.
Yes. So, like, we always, every March 23rd, we always send each other a text. And it didn't matter if he was in Charlotte or whether he was here in Cleveland. Okay. We always, March 23rd, we always think of each other, and then we send each other texts.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a very nice thing that we do.
And, you know, not nearly as nice as Tom Brady retiring twice on the same day.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I kind of think it's cool that it was the same day.
No, see, he should have done it tomorrow on Groundhog Day. Then it would have been utterly hilarious.
Why would that be funny? It's
not
like
April
Fool's.
Have you not seen the movie Groundhog Day before?
Oh, okay, I got you, because we're living Groundhog Day then. Sorry, I was a little slow on that. I thought in my mind you got April Fool's Day mixed up with Groundhog Day, and I was like, wait a second, Daryl, we got to have a conversation.
No.
No, not at all. My bad.
Please don't make me explain the joke.
This bird brain. No, I got it. I've seen the movie. You know, it's a fine movie.
You know who starred in the movie?
It's Bill Murray, my guy.
Okay, thank God. Okay.
I'm going to watch Bill Murray do a whole entire pro-am this weekend. You kidding me? I watch Bill Murray golfing in a pro-am every single... That's my Groundhog Day. Every single year, I watch him move around the course like molasses.
The pro-am I want to watch is Adam Sandler and Bob Barker in a pro-am in real life.
Now, that's a great movie. That's a great movie.
The Price is Wrong! No. It's a family show.
So, Daryl, we talked about Nick. Hold on. Let me get your thoughts on Tom Brady then first, because we talked about him as a broadcaster. Are you surprised? I had a guy from Tampa on about 40 minutes ago. He said Bucs fans were holding out hope that he'd come back to Tampa Bay. I was like, that was never in the cards.
No, he wasn't going back to Tampa.
Not at all. It was gonna be the Raiders, potentially the 49ers.
I like the fact that he's done. I'm assuming he's done. I guess I shouldn't until I like see him in a broadcast booth. But and by the way, I don't know if he's gonna be a good analyst. Because if the personality we've seen from him for like the last 25 years is anything close to what we're going to see on TV, I would just tell him to go do something else and forget Fox. But look, 7 championships is incredible. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. Some of the records that he put up, the longevity with which he played, I don't know if that's going to be able to be replicated again in the NFL. So I am splitting the eras, though, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think Otto Graham was the GOAT quarterback pre-Super Bowl era, and I think that Tom Brady is the GOAT quarterback post-Super Bowl era. It's too hard to compare those eras, right, and just pick one guy. Things are just drastically different. So,
100% different.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to be able to do what Tom
That's
Brady
fair. Let me ask you this, though. Who's the GOAT of GOATs? Is it Michael Jordan? Is it Tiger Woods?
Oh,
is it Tom Brady?
Wow. That is an impossible question to answer. I'll throw Kareem in there. Like, I don't know that. And I grew up on Jordan, don't get me wrong. But it's hard for – see, and again, this is the tough part about this conversation because of the eras. You know, you would have, you know, some of the old school guys, Oscar and company, that would argue, well, Michael, as great as he still wasn't the GOAT, right? Didn't have to deal with some of the stuff we dealt with and stuff like that. But, man, that's a great question. I'm going to go prisoner of the moment and total bias on my part only because I grew up with Jordan. He stepped away from the game, went and played minor league baseball, came back and still won 3 championships in a row.
That was nice of you to phrase it as stepped away from the game. I just say got kicked out of the game and then, you know,
well,
went and played baseball.
I'm trying to be journalistically accurate. yeah. The record reflects that he stepped away from the game. So
Hey, listen, if they made the NBA NBA Finals trophy, if it was the crying Jordan meme, I would have no complaints from me, okay?
Well, you know the Jordan trophy, is it the MVP, there's a trophy they named
They just changed it, but I think that's the point, though.
No, like, I understand that, but he didn't want it to look like him, because when I saw the trophy, I was like, that looks like nothing like MJ, and then I went on to read that, by the way, Michael did not want the trophy to look like
him. I mean, you don't really have to when half of the league is wearing your shoes, and the other half of the league has your silhouette on their jersey, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got enough exposure, I think. Although it would be really sweet, actually, if you had the Michael Jordan trophy and it was that logo. I bet everyone in the league would then want to win that 20 times more just because of that.
I will say this. If Tom Brady goes into the executive wing of the realm of things, I should say, post-playing career, I hope it's a lot more successful than Michael Jordan's.
That's true. No doubt about that. Herm Edwards was on Afternoon Drive with our buddy Nick, and he said this about Deshaun Watson. I want you to hear this. It might not surprise you. I think the sentiment is very interesting. Here we go.
I think he'll be fine. It goes to show you. I've always said this to tell football players. You know, my claim to fame as a football player, I never missed a practice, never missed a start. And I always tell players this: you cannot cheat the grass. In other words, the grass knows when you're not out there practicing. The grass knows. And when you step out there with your cleats and you've cheated the grass, it gets you back. He missed a lot of time. And that's something, you can say what you want, but you missed a lot of time in this game, especially at the quarterback position. It's tough. And, you know, if you look at Cleveland, I look at...
All right, that's good right there. I like the cheating the grass thing. That to me, I hadn't thought about it in that way. You know, when Deshaun Watson was worried about whether or not...
He wasn't cheating the grass. He wasn't allowed to play on the grass.
No, but he had 700 days. He had 700 days, and I think in between there, I think he was more worried about whether or not he's going to go to jail than whether or not he was going to ever play in the NFL again. And I do think there is something to that idea that, you know, he could have been up at 5 a.m. working out every single morning. I don't know that he was or wasn't. I don't get the impression that he was, though.
He didn't look like someone that was out of shape to me. He looked like someone who was just rusty, because in training camp he looked phenomenal. Then again, he joins the lengthy list of Browns quarterbacks.
The practice field All-Americans.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yes. The training camp MVP, Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it, right? So I think I lean more towards rust and speed of the game, losing the internal clock of the speed of the game. And you can only get that back by playing. And we saw glimpses, but I hope there's a whole lot more behind just what we saw in those six games. And that's a lot. And to be fair to Sean, that is a lot to ask of a guy that missed 700 days without playing a game. But the standard gets elevated, fairly or not, because of what the Browns paid, to bring him here. So a lot of pressure on him to perform this coming season. No question about it.
Darryl Rotter, thank you so much. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you.
You bet, Jonathan.
All right, Darryl Rotter brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.